Chapter 13. Too Valuable to Die. Land. Arkan Land pulled the trigger. The warrior before him disintegrated, undone at the atomic level with a supremely merciless lack of haste. The Alpha Legionnaire was still screaming when almost 70% of his body had dissipated into the smoky air.
Fascinating,
thought Land, despite being on the very edge of pissing himself. The techno-archaeologist lowered his pistol, thanked the Omnisire for perhaps the 5,000th time since the war had reached Terra, and crawled away from the last dissolving shreds of armour. He had to get to safety. He couldn't die here. It mustn't end like this, all because of one raided convoy. Whatever would the Imperium do without him? Lasfires sliced through the dust with cracks of ionized air. Bolt guns barked, lighting up the hazy dawn with the impacts of their shells. You could barely tell the Astartes apart in this dust. They were all towering monsters coated in a layer of ash. Land was surrounded by armored beasts with grinding joints and roaring weapons, killing everything around themselves with impunity. Everyone said the world had gone blind, but that wasn't quite true. Far more accurate to say that the world had gone mad. He scrabbled across the hard ground, too frightened to stay low and move slowly, too scared to stand up and run, risking drawing fire. The result of his conflicting fears was a hunching lope about the pace of a jog. An abiding sense of self-preservation was one of Land's fiercest virtues, and it had served him beautifully on many occasions. However, it tended to do nothing for a man's dignity. He yelled for help as he ran. He yelled for Zephon, for anyone, damn it, and he yelled his own name several times, informing every combatant within earshot that he was Arkan Land, the Arkan Land, and his work was far too valuable for him to die here like this. Later, when he would be told about how he'd so unvaliantly whined for aid, he would deny it as base slander. There was simply no way he would ever be so undignified. Really, it said more about his accusers than it did about him. For now, he ran. A Lazround ionized the air a foot in front of his face, close enough to singe his beard. He turned in his inglorious but not entirely unwise retreat, weaving away from a cluster of combatants emerging ahead. The uneven ground over which they fought had once been the Kush Mandan Archive, a collection of libraries dedicated to preserving fragments of lore and artifacts from human worlds that hadn't survived Old Night. When the Great Crusade reached these worlds, expecting either resistance or compliance, they'd found neither. What awaited them instead were silent expanses of dead cities, inhabited only by memories. Whole civilizations that hadn't been able to overcome their own infighting, or died on the vine once they were cut off from the rest of humanity's ancient pre-imperial empire. The relics and records of these lost kingdoms were brought to Terra, to be studied in the domed halls of the Kush Mandan Archive. Rubble. All of it now. Rubble. Low walls to crouch behind, rocks to be ground underfoot by the treads of tanks and the feet of titans. Where was Zephon? Where were any of the supremely capable idiots covered in ceramite who should be doing their damnedest to protect him? It was one of the most annoying aspects to the Astartes subspecies, wasn't it? When a fight broke out, most of them had the moronic tendency to seek out enemy officers and warlords, instead of holding back and prudently defending valuable souls like, well, like Arkan Land. He shouted for them over the vox in his customized rebreather. None of the convoy's commanders replied.
If Zephon's got himself killed, only days after I dragged him out of stasis.
Later again, he would imagine he had this thought in a practically serene state of consideration. In reality, he mumbled it as he cowered with his back to a ruined wall. He was there mere moments before bolts hammered impacts along the stone to his left, spraying him with burning shrapnel, earning another offended, terrified cry. He fled from his compromised hiding place at a dead sprint. Ahead of him, two Imperial Army troopers were using a crater as a foxhole. Land joined them there in a gasping tumble. One of them was on his belly in the dirt, firing a battered laslock over the lip of the crater. The officer, Land presumed it was an officer, since he was the one shouting into the hand mic of a voxcaster, was crouched a little lower in the crater, with his rebreather pulled down so he could yell over the sounds of battle.
"Engaged by raiders! 4 kilometres east of the Delphic battlement!"
Lasfire stitched the air above them. A rhino-armoured personnel carrier rattled past, belching smoke from an internal detonation, stealing most of the officer's words. Bolts crashed and burst against its dented armour as it trundled by. Land huddled deeper into the shaking earth as the officer kept shouting for reinforcements. He could only make out 1 in 3 or 4 of the man's war-stolen words.
"Almost to the sanctum! Astartes raiders! Thousands of civilians!"
The trooper broke off abruptly because he was dead. Shot through the chest with a shrieking Volkite beam, his uniform licked by flames around the hole as he fell back in a boneless heap. The surviving trooper looked back at Land. Whatever he called was lost between the muffling of his rebreather mask and the unholy sounds surrounding them. Seeing that Arkan wasn't about to take over operating the Foxcaster, the soldier started crawling down the shallow crater to take his officer's place. He made it halfway, before 2 brawling Astartes crashed into the ditch, their weapons conjuring great sprays of sparks from each other's armour plating. The humans didn't exist to them. They were lost in their frenzied swordwork, and they trampled the crawling soldier beneath their boots without even slowing down. One of them staggered next to the crushed corpse, clutching at his neck with his only remaining hand. The other warrior administered the coup de grace with a swing of his chainsword, taking the loser's head from his shoulders. With no celebration, no respite, the Astartes kicked his foe's headless body over and clambered out of the crater to rejoin the fight. Land had no idea which side either of them had been on. He wasn't about to check the corpse to find out either. He started running. He made it several steps before he was shoved from his feet when what felt like a cargo hauler hammered into him from behind. Land thudded into the ground, rolled hard, and swore a sacred Bin Harrick curse as his pistol clattered across the earth. His immediate thought, as the archaeo-atomic gun tumbled away, was, "If that thing discharges..." All concern was bleached from his mind, as something approximately the weight of an Imperator Titan crashed down on his right leg. The pain was so sudden, the pressure so intense, that he didn't even cry out. He just winced, all of the air abandoning his body in a spit-laden hiss. Turning awkwardly, he saw a legionary on the ground, leaking blood and coolant from its battered armour. The warrior's shoulder guard crushed Land's leg to the earth from the knee down. Panic truly set in then, as did the pain. He clawed to get himself free, thrashing like an animal caught in a jaw trap. He kicked at the dead Astartes with his free foot. He threw a handful of earth that clattered against the warrior's faceplate. This achieved everything one might expect, which is to say, it achieved absolutely nothing. A rising hysteria, one he was painfully aware of, began to infect his throat. He yelled for aid, knowing that no one would hear him over the battle, not with the vox so useless and his words muffled by a rebreather, not with chainswords revving and tearing and boltgun thunder playing out its physaline cacophony. Yet, miraculously, it worked. One of the Astartes came to a boot-thudding stop at his side, hauling the dead warrior up and dropping the corpse away. The release of pressure somehow hurt worse than the pressure, and as he sucked in air, Land took a teeth-baring look at his leg. A red mess waited where his limb was supposed to be, malformed beneath his blood-soaked trouser leg.
"I can deal with it. I can deal with it."
The words came in a bleating rush of thought.
"Machine gods, oily... piss, it hurts! It hurts. Get to the sanctum, deal with it there. Sands of sacred Mars, it hurts! I can't walk!"
he yelled at the Astartes in whose shadow he lay.
"Help me up!"
"You are Arkanland."
The warrior was breathless from battle, yet the words came in a slow growl, at eerie odds with the fight going on around them. Its voice was wet and thick, as if living things greased against each other in its throat. Land looked up at his saviour, at the ashen ceramite, swollen by the mutagenics of the spoiled meat within, at the domed belly plates, broken not by bolt-gun fire, but burst from the inside out. Serpent ropes of dusty guts hung like a clutch of nooses, dangling between the warrior's legs.
"Death guard."
He either whispered the words aloud or chanted them in his mind. He wasn't sure.
Omnisire, protect me.
It's often written in Chronicles of War that time slows down in moments of dire confrontation. The concept was a trope Arkan Land had always found tolerably quasi-poetic at best, and ludicrous at worst. So it was with a chill that he felt the air around him grow dense, the towering thing above him move as if underwater, dragging a single breath into his lungs, demanded all his strength and took forever.
You are Arkan Land,
the death card accused him as it reached for him.
You have great value.
He yelled that he'd been lying, that he wasn't Arkan Land, that Arkan Land was already dead, that Arkan Land had been killed when the ultimate wall fell. These protests, shouted mindlessly in Martian Gothic, achieved nothing. An Imperial Army soldier, as ashy as everyone and everything else, emerged from the dust and rammed the bayonet of his las rifle into the Death Guard's guts. Land stared in grateful horror, with every detail richly clear. The empty ammunition slot of the man's las gun, the look of terrified defiance half hidden by the plastic rebreather, even the quiver in the soldier's narrowed eyes as he dug deep into the nest of slithering intestines. Paralysis threatened to embrace Land entirely. He'd barely moved an inch before the Death Guard vomited a sloshing arc through its helmet's mouth grill, covering the soldier in steaming bile. Whoever it was, that insanely, stupidly brave soul, they paid for their courage by falling to their knees, shrieking as their face and raised hands dissolved. Land's scream blended in with the dying man's, briefly turning the death cry into a duet. A third scream turned it into a chorus, this one mechanical, born of howling turbines. Another figure struck the earth, its back winged with a jump pack's twin turbines. The warrior's chainsword crashed against the Death Guard's armour with a spray of sparks.
Zephon,
thought Land, delirious with relief.
Zephon at last. He is Arkan Land,
the bloated Death Guard grunted, fending away the frenzied sword strikes with its armoured forearms. Ceramite gouged and tore, forcing the diseased legionary back, step by step.
Fool! He has value!
Zephon's name died on Land's lips. The Caedere Remissum crest atop the newcomer's helmet was a trophy worn only by the slavering dogs of the 12th Legion. Reports of the world-eaters turning on their own side in displays of unguided bloodlust had been common throughout the war, and now he was being treated to it, up close and personal. He wasn't saved at all. His enemies were fighting over him. Land rolled over, moving with grunts of unfamiliar effort, dragging his shattered leg as he crawled across the broken earth. He had two thoughts in the span of the same moment, one of which was the cold belief that he was going into shock, and that was why he was able to crawl at all, instead of shrieking over his leg. The second, far more practical, was,
"Where is my gun? Where did it fall? Which direction? Where?
There, in the dust, between the embattled shadows of warriors and monsters alike, was a tiny figure crouched low to the ground. It could almost be the silhouette of a skinny child, if an infant possessed a prehensile tail and chunky bionic eyes. But it wasn't a child, and it wasn't a monkey either, though it resembled one with relative fidelity. It was an experiment of genetic and cybernetic genius, recreating a long-extinct species of Terran simian. In its cunning little claws, it cradled Arkan Land's fallen pistol.
Sapien!
Land called. Sapien skittered closer in bounding leaps reminiscent of no actual primate, pressing the atomic slug pistol into its master's outstretched hands.
Good boy,
Land whispered through tears.
My very best boy.
He rolled over just as a crested shadow eclipsed the faint red sun. The victor of the scuffle over who would take his head had been decided. Gore, forebodingly dark, dripped from the world-eater's chainblade.
Blood,
it breathed through its helm vocalizer, the words melting into a throaty chuckle. It seemed delighted by the slender gun in the hands of its prey.
Blood for the...
Land fired. The world-eater staggered back, slowly atomizing, its molecules tearing away from one another and somehow igniting as they did so. Arkan Land was no soldier, just a man that adored his impossible toys from the dark age of technology.
Blood for the machine god,
he said through clenched teeth. Relief flowed through him, a feeling so pure that it made him heave with weak, wild laughter. The World Eater died screaming, going on to meet whatever foul deity it had sold its soul to. Breathless, in more pain than he could ever remember experiencing, Land dragged his spectralocular goggles from his watering eyes long enough to wipe the tears away, then started crawling again. Sapien skittered along at his side, chirping encouragement with sounds no living monkey had ever made.
Get help!
Land looked the cyber monkey dead in its beady stare.
Get Zephon! Get Amit! Get anyone!
Sapien ran, leaving him alone in the heart of the storm. Men and women were dying around him, their forms too shrouded by the dust for him to know exactly who he'd be shooting at. Astartes from both sides were dying too, but as far as Arkan Land was concerned, not enough of them, and not quickly enough. Something huge and metal and loud roared its way overhead, trailing fire. A shell from a Titan, a gunship strafing the ground, he didn't know. It was only a flash of flaming darkness, there one second and gone the next. Land wanted to keep crawling. But to what end? Sapien had gone for help, and might not find him if he moved. Blood of the Omnissiah, he could barely move anyway. There was a chimera some way away. He could see its outline in the dust. Shelter. Pathetically thin, but shelter nevertheless. Yet at this distance, and with only one leg, the troop carrier might as well have been on the other side of the world. He looked above it. Past it. The murky ghosts of two gods were fighting. Two titans, their weight classes and allegiances indeterminate, grappling in the slow swing and crash rhythm of god machines going for the kill face to face. He saw one of them swing a weapon, a fist or a blade or a saw, and heard the time-delayed thunder of it hitting home. He saw the beginning of a return blow before the ash swallowed both godlings again. Another great black shape tore the sky open above him, low enough to be unmistakable that time. A thunderhawk, a gunship from the west, from the Delphic battlement.
Reinforcements.
Hope soared, and as if mocking the audacity of this sudden salvation, fate threw him another twist. That's when the shelling started. It was Titan fire, it was artillery, it was tanks on the edge of the battlefield, and it was god machines towering over everything. Staccato booms punctuated the ground as Titans and artillery opened up on the warring regiments. Clusters of Astartes, human soldiers, Skitarii, exoplanar Xenos. Allegiance meant nothing in the dust, as indiscriminate detonations hammered down on the wasteland. Great holes appeared in the forces. Bodies burned and crumbled and flew. Land knew what was happening, because it was the only explanation. But the reason, the depthless spite, took his breath away. The War Master's horde was raining fire on its own warriors, just for the chance to kill Imperials. He stopped crawling, linked his shaking knuckles in the sign of the cog's teeth, and said a prayer to the machine god.
Just let me live,
he begged through the drumbeat cacophony and the ringing in his ears and the pain of his destroyed leg.
Just let me lie here and live.
A shadow fell over him, one with snarling armor joints, one that was far too big to be human, one that was reaching for him with a grasping hand. He rolled over, causing his mangled leg to catch fire with fresh pain, and his fingers squeezed the iron trigger almost hard enough to break it. The gun kicked. The Imperial fist that had been reaching down to help him took the atomic slug in the throat, staggering back as he began to disintegrate. The warrior had time to reach a hand to the molecular dissolution spreading from his neck before he toppled backwards onto the earth.
No!
Land crawled back towards the shreds of burning, atomizing armor and flesh becoming smoke in the ashy wind.
No! I didn't mean to!
Another silhouette manifested, another Astartes running out of the dust.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do it,
Land yelled at him. But it was one of the sons of Horus, his helmet crested with clan spikes, and this newcomer cared nothing about the tawdry slice of theatre playing out on the ground at his boots. He leveled his bolter to kill the wailing human and move on, but he never pulled the trigger. Arkan heard the warrior's head explode, the dull crump of the detonation inside the Astartes helmet. Blood began to leak from the helm's mouth grill. The corpse didn't tumble backwards as the Imperial fist had done. Stabilizer failsafes in his armor activated, locking up the joints, leaving the Astartes standing slackly rigid, straight-backed, with his bolt gun dangling from the curled fingers of one hand. Arkan Lan stared at this development.
How rare, he thought with amazed sincerity.
A second blast smashed into the already dead warrior, throwing the corpse from its feet. It spasmed on the ground, wrapped in worms of dissipating electricity. One of the tech guard emerged from the dust, lowering an arc rifle. Sapien rode on the Skitarius's shoulder, chittering into the oral receptor at the side of its helmet. The helmet itself was badly dented on the left side, as was the tech guard's chest plate. The Skitarius crouched, its red cloak scuffing the dusty ground, and it reached with a bionic hand to help haul him to his feet with a gentleness no Astartes would have thought to offer. Arkan Land couldn't recall ever feeling such gratitude. Many tech guard couldn't speak, and this one was no exception. It emitted a series of Binharic spurts as it helped the limping techno-archaeologist towards the hull of an army chimera.
No need to apologize, Land said to it. You are just in time.
And then, surprising even himself,
thank you for saving me.
The Skitarius jerked slightly, because it wasn't expecting to be understood. It vocalized another spurt of machine code from the implant in its throat.
Indubitably, I understand Skit code, said Land,
dizzy with the pain of his crushed leg.
I am a genius. Do you know who I am?
The tech guard gave a low, coded screech.
I'm not delirious, Land insisted.
Everything was going grey now, a soothing numbness washing over his vision.
I just need to sit down. I hope this isn't how I die. That would be embarrassing beyond measure. My leg doesn't hurt as much as it should. That's probably not a good sign, is it? What's your name? Your ident, I mean. What is it?
The Skitarius half carried him up the crew ramp into the Chimera transport. As it did so, it relayed its ident signifier in smooth Binharic cant.
I'm pleased to meet you. My name's Arkan Land.
His words kept trying to slur into one continuous sentence, and he felt an ardent need to keep speaking as clearly as he could. Manners demanded nothing less.
Excuse me, I think I'm going to pass out for a bit. Sorry for, you know, the inconvenience.
Arkan closed his eyes. He thought he heard the tech guard emit another code spurt, but the meaning of its words was fading with the rest of the world in a numbing wash. Unconsciousness was looking like a mercy, one he was more than willing to embrace. It was a mercy he was denied for a short while longer, however, because the sky broke open with the birth of a burning star. Land shielded his face from the light, skyfire turning his features amber as he looked out through the Chimera's hatchway. At first it looked like an effort of wrath from the higher heavens, the orbital bombardment resuming with impunity. But the world-eaters howled like wolves, and the word-bearers chanted their mad chants, and the sons of Horus cheered, and Land couldn't help but notice that the burning star had wings. Next to him, the Skitarius murmured a query in quiet code, ostensibly to itself, apparently an unintentional vocalization. But Land answered it, as his last mumbled words as he lost consciousness.
I think we should give serious thought to running away.